Does Florida State face an uncertain future after ESPN's decision to extend the ACC? What's next for Florida State and Clemson? And Michael, can they survive long enough to find a way out? That's what we're going to talk about today. This is the hot topic. Michael, this might be our most important show ever because right now, it really feels like the future is uncertain for Florida State. Are we going to be stuck? Are we going to find a way out? What are the new deals of this extension? Are we going to be able to compete or are we going to go the way of the dodo, man? This feels like a really tumultuous time in Florida State program history. And so we're going to break all that down for you guys today. We're going to talk about the things that we do know. We're going to talk about the things that we don't know and what it means from Florida State's perspective and why this could or could not be the death knell for Florida State football. So with that being said, before we jump into it, how are you, my friend? And man, this is a big one.
Man, listen, we were over here complaining about the fact that we were going into the offseason. We had little to talk about. We were pulling topics from the air. And then ESPN gave us a gift. Now, it might be a gift with a stab in the man parts of you, but it was still a gift.
Yeah.
And we get to talk about this. What a crazy, crazy, basically 48 hours it's been since this news has dropped. And I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, and so the thing is here, we are going to kind of react from all the information we pull from various sources, right? And we don't, like, I want to make this clear because I know realignment, if you guys have been watching the show for a while, I hate realignment episodes. I hate talking about this, but I know some people love it. So you have to really get your ducks in a row. And so we're coming from the sources that have been the most, we feel the most confident in, right? And so we're going to approach this from all different angles. Of course, we're going to come at this from a Florida State perspective. And so this is a big one to talk about. And so we're going to jump right into this. But before we do that, let me bring you a quick word from today's sponsor, because no matter what conference we're in, look, their gear is still going to be elite. And that is Alumni Hall FSU. If you're in Tallahassee, check them out at 1415 Timber Lane Road or shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and make sure you save 10% with code SPEAR. So we appreciate them supporting us and you guys supporting them. They have more than FSU gear too. If you're watching this and you're not an FSU fan, we appreciate you coming into the family as well, because I know this involves Clemson fans. This is going to get, this is going to draw viewers from everywhere. So we appreciate you guys watching as well with us here. So Michael, let's start with the broad view, right? This is obviously a disappointment for FSU fans. And if I'm looking down, I spent hours taking notes so we could be official on this last night. So I'm going to be referencing those throughout the show. This is obviously a disappointment for FSU fans, but there are still a lot of unknown details that could be small wins for FSU. It's probably not going to be the results we hope for because this is ultimately a disappointment. This, if you want to put an example to it, think the 2023, right? Florida State, you won the ACC, but you got left out of the playoffs. So if you were to, like, say, get out of the conference sooner and get some more money in the meantime, but you're still in the ACC, well, you won something, but you didn't win what you wanted to. Getting out this year would have been winning the national championship in 2023. That's what we hoped for. What we don't want to happen is to be like Miami, where you had a good season and you didn't win anything.
That's right. And
that's what happened last year. So with that being said, I do want to first kind of preface this with, I think one of the biggest problems when we talk about realignment, especially from a Florida State perspective, was, again, I don't like doing these shows about realignment. I know they're necessary, but there are a lot of shows and people and unnamed podcasts and sources and outlets and stuff out there. They eat this up because it does bring viewership. And I think some of those people, they put unreal expectations on this process. They were running with narratives that they had baseless claims for. There were some people out there saying that Florida State was already going to be in the Big Ten in 2025. There were contingency schedules in place. The ACC was going to pay Florida State to leave.
That's right.
People got addicted to views on realignment talks, and so they set unreal expectations. This is a legal matter. It was never going to be fast to begin with. 2027 was likely the earliest that this was going to happen. So some of those pie in the sky things that set people up for disappointment, I mean, that's kind of put unreal expectations on this. So we're gonna ignore those kind of false narratives. And you know, everyone's got sources. We don't know if your sources are a janitor at the Big Ten offices or, you know, someone who was cleaning the windows and saw a computer screen outside of the ACC offices. So we don't know their sources. But man, that's just kind of some of my overall thoughts before we get into the meat of this episode.
Yeah, I would agree with you, Jesse. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. We've been saying it since, you know, we get it whenever we've gotten to these episodes. Like, look, we don't have sources. We don't have, you know, people working in the football offices at the ACC or Florida State or Clemson or anywhere else. We don't have any of that. So all we can do is just read the tea leaves, read what we're reading the same things you guys. So we're never, ever going to claim that, oh, we know this. We don't know that. We know this and that. No. All we know is what we see, as you can see. We have access to the same information that you do. So those sites and those things that created these false narratives, this false expectation, that gets you more views. That's great.
Right.
But this is just my warning to you guys, to No Nation moving forward. If some site that isn't a national site or a national reporter whose boots on the ground, you should take them with a grain of salt.
Always.
Honestly, us, we're only going to report what we see from the national media and what they're saying. And so that's all. That's my whole thing of this, is that if you walked into this and you thought we were going to be in the out of the ACC in 2027 because of some, you know, site that told you that, and they're not a national site, man, that's on you.
Right. And that doesn't mean click off the video, because
we
have pulled a lot of information from various sources, and we're going to kind of relate it in, you know, put our way on it, our spin on it. But we try and come with facts and evidence more than we do hypotheticals, because, you know, let's be honest, man, these sources aren't just going to tell like Joe Blow podcast or the inside information that, let's be honest, only TV executives, only, you know, conference executives and university presidents, those are probably the only people that really know the ins and outs of this information.
Yep.
So we just want to put that out there to begin with. But now let's get into the meat of this episode, Michael. Let's start with what we know. This is concrete what we do know. ESPN is going to extend the agreement with the ACC through 2036. Now, this was an expected move, as long as FSU and Clemson had not found an exit path prior to the extension date, because frankly, it's a good deal for ESPN to lock in the media rights at a low rate, especially with FSU and Clemson in the conference. Keep in mind, ESPN's ultimate goal is to make a profit. They don't care about the good of college football. They don't care about what Florida State and Clemson's feelings are. They care about making profit. Also, remember, ESPN owns the ACC network. They funded the ACC network. If they were not going to extend that option, they would have to sell or kill that off to another network. And so this was probably always going to happen. I don't think anyone thought that this extension wasn't going to be picked up unless Florida State and Clemson, through the legal pathwork, had found an immediate exit path and were no longer in the ACC. And I will stand on that. We said that before.
Yep.
They wanted to know, they would want to know what they're getting before they sign up for the extra 9 years. Well, they know that they still have Florida State and Clemson in the fold. So it was kind of a no-brainer that they were going to pick up this option. And so rumors have swirled, and there are going to be some hearsay rumors in here, okay? Rumors have swirled that ESPN could force a move of teams from the ACC to the SEC, also known as their premier brand, and backfill teams to the ACC, like a Memphis, a Tulane, a USF, or some of the names that I've heard. The point is, ESPN does not want the ACC to implode. And now that they own everything as far as intellectual property rights are concerned from both of those conferences, they have total control. Because I know some people may be thinking, I don't know that they can move from one to the other. Yes, the SEC and the ACC do get a say-so, but ESPN is ultimately the puppet master. Now that they own everything, you know, the ACC and SEC can get a say-so in this, but if ESPN wants it to happen, they're going to grease the wheels to make it happen.
Right.
And I think what that tells you is, I don't know that it's likely. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think knowing that, this may mean that a move to the SEC is more likely for Florida State and Clemson to stay within the ESPN ecosystem, because obviously you know, changing rooms in my house is easier than changing houses. And that's so right. I think that's kind of the what I look at with just the first part that ESPN is going to extend this agreement.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of knew that was coming, and it was pretty clear early on in the lawsuit process that there probably wasn't going to be an exit strategy for Florida State and Clemson to get out by 2027, even though it was revealed that the deal does need to get renewed by this date and time. But I mean, you could read even those who weren't lawyers like us, like we say we're Twitter lawyers, not lawyers on Twitter, right?
Exactly.
Even us, we could tell, like, oh, they're probably not going to be able to get out of this conference before 2027 anyways. And so it only makes sense for ESPN to say that's asset, because they, even though the SEC is the favorite child of ESPN, ESPN has all of these networks. They have all these time slots. They have to bring inventory.
Right.
They actually have to bring inventory to help prop up everything else they're paying towards the SEC. That's where the ACC comes into play. So the ACC is paying ESPN's bills so ESPN can pay the SEC, right? That's how it works.
Yeah.
And so, yes, they're paying out to the ACC, but they need that inventory. And they have two, I mean, I'll be fair, they have four, two 1A and then two, like, 3Bs. So Florida State, Clemson, and then, like, a couple layers down, Miami and North Carolina, that are prime products that are actually bringing in eyeballs, right?
Right.
And so that is inventory that ESPN needs. They're not going to waste all that money they've invested and just kind of let it go. So it only makes sense that they were going to renew the deal.
Right. And you also have to factor in the basketball side of things, because football is obviously, you know, the main course,
the driver.
But men's basketball is a big part of that too. And so the ACC, you get that. And if they're going to invest a lot of that money into the SEC, well, you know, and you're getting the ACC at a good deal, it's like, hey, Michael, I got a certain budget for dinner. If I'm going to feed the adult steaks, I'm going to give the kids hot dogs, right? And
that's
so
right.
The ACC, we're the hot dogs right now.
Right.
And the SEC is the steak dinner. So it's just, it is what it is. But like you said, they got to put a product out in the market, and they get the ACC for a good deal under the current contract. So again, that was always going to happen as long as it wasn't like an immediate judgment that Florida State and Clemson, you're out, you're good to go. I don't think they probably would have picked up the option had Florida State and Clemson went to, say, the Big Ten or UNC and other schools like that as well. The other thing that we do know is that reporters are going to report based on who they work for. The initial report that came out was released by people who do work for ESPN.
That's right.
And it benefits them, because their paycheck comes from them, to lean pro ACC, pro ESPN versus pro FSU.
Right.
ESPN in the initial article had not even commented on this. And this was coming from sources. So that is important to remember too. You will see various different places report, probably variations in what they report based on who they're reporting for.
Right.
Now, obviously, like we said, we're coming from this from an FSU perspective, because we're an FSU podcast, but we are not tied to anybody. We are an independent podcast, so we can pull from wherever we want to, but that is important to keep in mind. And the reason I say that is because, like, if the ESPN report says, well, they're expected to settle these lawsuits, well, Florida State and Clemson could tell them to kick rocks. That doesn't mean they're going to settle this lawsuit, but that's what they're going to report, because that's in the best interest of the network they report for.
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's what they're going to do. I mean, Jesse, if you had big news, like if you were selling Plant a Spear to, I don't know, 247 Sports or something like that, and I was writing for you, well, of course I'm going to slant this to make it sound really good for Plant a Spear and for 27 Sports. Why? Because I collect a paycheck from Plant the Spear and 247 Sports now. So, of course, those ESPN reporters are going to make it sound really great for the ACC, really great for ESPN, and not so much as great for Florida State and Clemson. Also, remember, Florida State is suing this conference.
So it's
not going to make it all come together for Florida State. They're going to do what's in the best interest of themselves.
Right. And I think that segues into the next important part of the conversation. This extension is between ESPN and the ACC. This extension is not between FSU and Clemson. Yes, they are part of the extension because they are part of the ACC, but FSU and Clemson do not have to settle their lawsuit. The rumors may have swirled that, but if they don't like what they hear, they don't have to settle for anything. And this extension pickup in no way impacts the lawsuits unless they come to an agreement on a settlement,
right,
which by all means may be coming. But do keep in mind that in a settlement, both sides have to come to terms.
That's right.
So if they don't hear what they like, they don't have to settle. And also keep in mind that this is not a new deal. This is an extension option of the current deal that was picked up in a unilateral option by ESPN.
Right.
This is not a what does Clemson and Florida State want option. This was a unilateral extension by ESPN that was picked up. This is not like we're renegotiating and having a new deal. Now, there may be concessions in it, which we're going to get to next.
Right.
But that's what this deal was.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a deal of the continuation of the basically now it's extended to 2036 grant of rights media agreement. So the ACC has taken the collective of all the teams in the conference and sold its rights to ESPN. Right. That's it. And that's all they've extended. The lawsuit is completely separate from that. And this is and so the agreement is between the entity of the ACC in the entity of ESPN. Florida State and Clemson, they're still pursuing their deal with the ACC of like, what does it mean to get out? Is there an actual conference or a penalty fee, or, you know, charging us a exit fee is a penalty? You don't own our rights, all like that. That's just between the ACC and the grant of rights and Florida State. It has nothing to do with ESPN. ESPN is extending this agreement saying, hey, we're going to take the ACC product and put it out on the TVs.
Right, exactly. Again, that doesn't mean that we have to settle. They correct are rumoring that this, the concessions in this will bring, you know, will eventually lead to a settlement, correct, but it doesn't necessarily mean that has to happen. No, obviously, no. You know, this is like kind of being like, okay, I did something and now I can either take the deal or I can go to jury trial, right?
Right,
like,
right.
If you get the terms that you like, and the settlement may be good or bad for Florida State, we that's don't right know, but if they settle, it's probably something that they wanted to happen. If they don't settle, they didn't hear what they wanted to happen. So right, again, they could keep the lawsuits going. They could take their chance in the courts and see how this would take it to jury trial.
That's right.
Theoretically, obviously, and see how it plays out versus taking the plea deal. So that is important to remember. Yes, a settlement may come out of this.
Right.
But it's not guaranteed.
Correct. And just remember, we just said this. These reporters who are reporting this and their sources, most of their sources is coming from ESPN and the ACC. Let's be right real, because no one has really talked to Florida State and Clemson based on what we've seen so far, right? So, yep, of course, they're going to say, oh, if they pass this, if they ratify the deal, if ESPN makes the deal go through, then Florida State and Clemson are willing to drop their lawsuit because they've made some concessions. They don't really know that. This is right, the ACC saying this to these reporters, right? There's no one speaking to Michael Alford or President McCullough or Peter Collins, the board trustee chair. No one has come out and said any of this stuff. This is all speculation coming from the reporters who are reporting this, who are probably getting a lot of their sources and information from ESPN and the ACC.
Right. And are some of the sources good? Probably so. Sure. But it could be network propaganda for all we know.
Correct.
The next thing that we do know is there appears to at least be concessions that are going to be part of this new agreement that are going to be tied to it. And what I mean by those, the first and most relevant to Florida State is going to be the brand value revenue splits. There's also going to be the talk of more games between top brands like Clemson, FSU, Miami against Notre Dame. They are going to try and leverage that relationship with Notre Dame because they play 5 to 6 ACC games a year. They're also a full member for all other ACC sports besides football. Obviously, Notre Dame is going to retain their independence as long as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. So while you have that relationship to leverage, that's what they're going to try to do, because ultimately it's about the number of eyeballs you can get on TV sets. So the bigger matchups you can create, the more brand value you're going to create for the conference itself. Now, I do want to make it clear that we are not advocating that it's a good thing to stay in the ACC. We are not advocating that the ACC is a great conference. We are just looking at this from kind of a neutral to Florida State slanted perspective and how this may or may not could end up as the best scenario, not right the one we wanted, but how it could be a decent one for us. So anyway, you are going to look at doing those two different things there. The brand value is going to be again, this is going to be something where you're basically paying the schools that bring the most brand value to the conference. We've heard Michael Alford say in one of their presentations in the past that Florida State brings in roughly 15% of the revenue to the conference, but they only receive 7%. Now, if you look at what Florida State was, and we're going to get into some numbers here in the next part of the show, in the what we don't know part, but just to put a perspective on that, in 2022-2023, the ACC brought in around $706 million. Now, of course, they got to pay for fees, and they pay Notre Dame some money. They ended up paying around $44.8 million to each school, around $45 million to each school, right? So if that is the 7% that Florida State brings in, then 15% would have been, rough math, I'm not a mathematician here, but around $96 million. So you're $51 million. You're coming up short there, right? And so these are also the brand value revenue splits are going to be in addition to the success initiative that has already been put in place. So that's another way that they could earn extra revenue. Obviously, 2 and 10 ain't earning you a dime in success initiative. So we got some things we got to work on in our own right. I'm not saying that's not the case either. It is also, this is something that has not passed yet per their source. It is not rumored to be something that will even pass unanimously because some of these programs, like a Wake Forest, a Boston College, a Syracuse, they're going to have to take a haircut on their payday to fund this. But they know, although they may not like it, they know that ponying up a portion of their profits to avoid a massive cut that would come from losing the top brands in the conference is a necessary evil for them. They also get stability out of it in the short term, and they would get a better payday than they would get probably anywhere else if, you know, they were to go the way of like a G6 conference or something like that, if the ACC were to become the new Big East or something like that. So that is some of the new concessions that we're going to talk a little bit more about in the next part of the show. But those are some of the things that are being rumored that are tied to this extension to possibly give the Florida State and Clemson's a little bit of what they want and give the ACC a little bit of what they want as well as the other teams in the conference.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see, you know, what concessions actually come out of that. You know, if the brand concession, the brand value add is a thing where they're going to create this separate, another separate fund apart from the success initiatives and say, okay, well now the teams that are bringing the most brand value add to the program is going to get this much money. Okay, how do they determine that? Is that determined by viewership? Is that determined by eyes, butts in the seats? Like what? Like it's not going to just be a simple metric, because if it's a simple metric, going back to that number that you used, you quote by Director Alford, Florida State should automatically get 15% of whatever they bring in that year. So 15% right. of the 700 million, because that's what they historically have been bringing in as a conference. So they're only getting 7. So I wonder what that concession potentially could look like for Florida State. And then of course, a success initiative is you got to win. I mean, that's as simple as that. You got to win. Right. And that adds about a $10, $15 million.
$15 to $25 million
extra on top of what you're already guaranteed. So it'll be really interesting to see about that. And I think there were some other concessions that we're going to get to later on as well, too.
Yeah, and I have heard, now again, this is just me hearing this, I have heard people mention that it is going to be heavily tied to TV metrics, but that's not the sole thing that it's going to be tied to. And it's not a it's not necessarily going to be a direct one-for-one adjustment. Like, it doesn't mean you're going to get 15%. Will they meet you at 10%, 12%? Where does that come in? Because obviously there's only so much money to split up.
That's right.
And unequal revenue sharing may keep the conference together, but it's not proven to be a great solution in the past for other conferences. The other thing that we do know is that there are reports that negotiations about the grant of right end dates and the exit fee are ongoing. Florida State and Clemson would ideally like to be able to leave the conference around 2030, 2031, when the Big Ten and the SEC come back to the negotiating table to renew their TV contracts. Because again, keep in mind, they make more than you and they renew again before the ACC does. If that were the case, the schools get to leave around 5 to 6 years early if we were to settle on that date, and the ACC gets 5 to 6 years of stability. Again, this is where a settlement comes in. You get a little bit, you give a little bit. That's not saying it's necessarily going to happen, but that's what they're exploring. Personally, I think it would make more sense for those conferences to want to do expansion around the time they make those negotiations versus making early adds, because then you don't have to deal with escalators or addition, adding new, you know, new pieces of pizza to the pie.
Share percentages or
exactly. Like you can use these as bargaining chips to go to your TV network partners and say, okay, well, we're renegotiating anyway. How about if we add Florida State and Clemson or UNC and UVA or things like that? Negotiating chips. And the reason I say this, I want to bring this up as well, is the last line in David Hale's article, who works for ESPN. He said in the very last paragraph, it says, as part of the settlement, Clemson and Florida State are asking the ACC to agree to reduce penalties for exiting the grant of rights after 2031, when TV contracts for the Big Ten, SEC, and Big 12 are set to expire. So again, that's one of the biggest sticking points on this extension and the settlement. If the settlement does happen, that's going to be one of the biggest aspects, is how soon can we get out and how much you're going to pay us to wait. And so that is something that they're still arguing. So I don't think a settlement is going to come unless you kind of hear what you want as far as that particular option, because that is the biggest thing in the long-term survivability of your program is how soon can you get out of here and get to those other conferences. That's what they want. But the ACC doesn't. They get to live to fight another day, and they get time to maybe figure things out. What teams can we add? What moves can we make? And things like that. So that's kind of where you almost meet in the middle. Now, a couple other notes on that. Again, like I said, if FSU and Clemson were to settle, that means one of two things. We either felt that we were going to lose the lawsuit and we had to take the best that we could, or we got a deal good enough that you would consider it a win with what you had to go there. Now, the other one from just an FSU perspective here that I do want to add that is important to remember when you talk about taking your contract back to market. From FSU's perspective, as it relates to the Big Ten only, Florida State could achieve AAU status by 2030, 2031, which would be a huge help in them being welcomed into the Big Ten. Because as you know, every member besides Nebraska who was AAU and then lost it after being in there, they are AAU members. They have said, for those of you that are going to correct me on this, look, Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, has said that it is not a requirement, but it is basically a big boost to getting you in, right? Florida State has openly said they expect to have AAU within the next couple of years. I believe 2027 is the date that they're shooting for. So if you do kick the can down the road and you get AAU come 2030, 2031, you look way more attractive to the Big Ten to shop your market if you have that AAU status. It is not required for the SEC, but if you're kind of opening the books up to both conferences, that AAU would be huge. And that could be accomplished by the time you get out in 2030.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, from everything I've been able to read, you know, Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, has been more concerned about eyeballs, about media, about brand than he has the AAU status. For sure. Nebraska is the only one. They used to have it. They don't have it now. It doesn't hurt to have it, for sure. I think at the end of the day, if it came down to if Florida State was available for the Big Ten, this is Michael's speculation, okay? This is not informed or anything else. This is my speculation. Based on what I've read and understood about who this commissioner is for the Big Ten, if it came down to getting Florida State, if they were available and you don't, and you're trying to be an all nation conference, is what the Big Ten aim is to be, and you want to put your flag, Fox wants to put a flag right down in the state of Florida, and Florida State's available and they don't got AAU, they don't care.
Right. Yeah.
They gonna get them, right? But with AAU, it makes that even more attractive because then you uphold the standard of most of the other Big Ten schools.
Right. I think if without AAU, Tony Petitti is going to pull some strings. And obviously, education and academics are important. And Florida State has done a great job of improving their academic status over the past few years. Now, with AAU, I don't think you're going to get much pushback from university presidents, right? And Miami may be part of that deal to get them in Florida as well. I believe they already have AAU status too. So AAU is only going to help grease the move. Now, the other thing that we do know is Florida State's initial, and we're going to talk about the fit and the want for the Big Ten and the SEC coming up here in a little bit. So FSU's initial lawsuit and Clemson's lawsuit in general were not based on leaving the ACC, but rather finding out what their options to leave were and ultimately getting more revenue. That's what they wanted out of the lawsuits. Because remember, the ACC was playing kind of hide the ball early, so they had to do this. Now, FSU did change its tone later in the process where they started saying things like, when we leave, when we get out. But that was not what it was initially. I believe Michael Alford had even come out and said, we never said we were going to leave right. in the initial part of the lawsuit. So 2 points on that. We didn't even know our options until the legal process allowed us to find out because of the ACC's secretive practices. So for the people who think the lawsuit was a complete waste, yes, it may be egg on our face by the time this is over with, but the lawsuit was still necessary to find out what your options even were. Because remember, we didn't know about the extension. We didn't know about the 2027 date until they opened up the lawsuit. Also, the ACC previously balked at the idea of unequal revenue until the lawsuits happened. Since then, they rolled out the succession initiative, as well exploring this new brand value deal. So with that being said, no, staying in the ACC is not what we want, but the ultimate goal of your lawsuit was to find out, one, what your options were to leave, and two, to maybe squeeze more money out of them, and it appears that may be what you're getting. So it may not be the way you wanted to get it, but ultimately, you're kind of getting what you want. Now, what they wanted and what fans want might be two different things, but in a sense, in a small win world, you are kind of might end up getting what you want.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the ultimate goal, Florida State sued the ACC, like you said, because they needed to see what was available, what their options were, because they had two goals they wanted out of all of this. They wanted to be able to get enough money so they could compete at a high, high level, you know, compete with the Bamas and the Georgias and all of those for national championships. And they wanted to make sure they had a direct path to the college football playoffs, right? And the lawsuit was going to allow them to be able to view their options as far as what does it actually look like to get out of this conference. That's what they wanted. And so at the end of the day, we have to judge the lawsuit by that. Yes, right. It feels bad. Trust me. Jesse knows. You could read our text thread. I was like, it's the end of the world.
This I had is to ridiculous. Talk you off the ledge. I
had to talk me off the ledge. It's ridiculous for sure. And by the end of it, yeah, it could be egg in our face. We could look like idiots. We grandstanded. We said all this stuff only to run with our tails between our legs. But at the end of the day, the idea for Florida State, at least for them, was to figure out what is the ACC hiding, right? We discovered a lot they were hiding, yeah. right? And what are our options based on that?
Right. And that's the thing is like, we always try and take a positive spin on this, right? And so there's just so much left to be found out that I don't want anybody jumping off the cliff quite yet. And so that is important to remember. And so it may end up, like you said, it may have been grandstanding and all that stuff. It may be a failure by the leadership, but we don't know exactly what's going to happen quite yet. So the last thing that we technically do know before we get into the other part of the show is technically Florida State is not stuck anywhere. They can leave anytime they want. It's just a matter of money and having a place to go. FSU estimates it would cost around $500 to $700 million to leave the conference. That's the exit fee plus buying out your grant of rights through 2036. The number drops by roughly that payout of around $50 million a year for every year you remain in the ACC. So the longer you stay, the less you have to pay to get out. Now, the lawsuit could go through and you could get the exit penalty, which is one of their arguments. They could get that nullified. You could pay the penalty and you could have where they say, no, you don't have the grant of rights. You have to pay that out. So the number is still there and you still have to have a place to go. And I imagine if you're paying $500 million, it's probably only going to be to leave for the Big Ten because you're going to pay to go from one ESPN property to the next.
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, we're not stuck. That is the truth. But it's just, is it worth it to leave knowing the asking price and having a seat at the table somewhere else? That is right. Something we do know.
Yeah. I get people saying, oh, man, we're stuck here. Because what they're saying is Florida State ain't got $500 to $700 million to just throw around and leave a conference. So right. It makes you feel stuck. But right. Jesse's right. Florida State is not stuck. In that sense, right?
Right.
Florida State could literally, and I'm gonna go even further than just the paying the $500 to $700 million. Florida State could tell the ACC by whatever the next deadline is, hey, we out, right?
Yeah.
And the ACC gonna be like, okay, well, pony up that $507 million. And then Florida State can say, yeah, we're going to sue you, right? We're going to take the same pathway that, oh, remember, what was that school up in the Northeast called Maryland yeah. that went to Big Ten? They sued the ACC, and guess what they had to do? They went to the Big Ten, and while they were in the Big Ten, right, while they were doing all that stuff, oh, they had their rights, right? And then it got settled in court. So Florida State could literally leave the ACC and say, we're going to sue you. And while we're suing you, well, guess who the rights stay with? The person who owns it. And so the courts decided. So they could go anywhere they want to. Now, the hard part will any conference want to take them while they're in litigation for the rights? So, yeah, that's an issue there. But they could go independent. That'd be fun. Now they'd have to find a TV partner.
Right.
You know, all of that stuff. Or they could go get that that equity investment that they were looking in and just pay the $700 million or $500 million right now while they do that. But, yeah, technically, they're not stuck. But I can understand why people are saying that, because it is a large sum of money that they would have to pay out if they lost the court case.
Right. And I think the main point to remember that, because you make great points, you could tap private equity, you could do these things, you could go independent, which I don't think would work in this day and age, because you still have to have scheduling agreements to try and you know, format a whole schedule. Obviously, look at Notre Dame is leveraging the ACC.
Right.
It's not smart to leave right now, but technically you're not stuck. But at some point, those numbers will make sense. And that's why Maryland is still getting less money from the Big Ten, because they helped them buy that contract out.
Right.
So the next part that I want to talk about is what we don't know, Michael. And this is the part that I think is almost more important than the first part, because this is what we don't know. And before everybody goes jumping off the ledge, you know, I tried to talk Michael back off of this. And again, we're not saying that staying in the ACC is a good thing by any means. But what we don't know is, first off, what is going to happen with these lawsuits? Right. FSU and Clemson may end up settling, but what will be the terms? A shortened grant of rights? A reduced exit fee? Both? Do they not settle? Do they keep pushing it until they either win or lose? That is the first and most important question, because no matter what ESPN reports for ESPN, it doesn't mean a settlement's going to come. And if it does come, what are the terms of that settlement? So the lawsuits could still end up being a small win. Again, we know the ultimate win for Florida State would be to be in the SEC or the Big Ten by 2026. That's what we really want, really, 2025. We wish we were there already.
Come on.
But if you can get out 5 years earlier and maybe it's penalty free, that's not a complete loss. So we don't know what's going to happen with the lawsuits. And before we go talking about this is the death of the program, that is perhaps the single biggest answer or question that we need answered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we need to kind of know what is the judge. You know, right now, according to some national media people who have actually spoken to Florida State still feels confident that they can win the court case in Leon County. They still feel confident. And why wouldn't you? The court's in the case is in your backyard. And let's be real, the state of Florida has been known to help the state of Florida.
Right. We will throw your Christmas tree to the curb if you don't.
Exactly. And so, yeah, if the courts can rule in Florida State's favor. Now, again, of course, the ACC is going to, if they do lose, they're going to throw it into appeals and all that stuff. But if they can get that initial court win, then absolutely. You walk out of this thing scot-free, but we don't know. And man, living in ambiguity is probably one of the worst places to live in, especially when you're a multi-billion-dollar industry, right?
Right. And keep in mind, the ACC does have a lawsuit that has to be settled too. They are counter-suing us. So the reason that is important is the next thing that we don't know. And what will the new revenue figures be? How long are you going to be here? What is it going to cost to get out? All these things. And this is important. And this is going to be really something that we're going to dive into here. This is where we're going to get into the numbers. This is where you're really going to want to pay attention here. And I'm sorry for those listening on just podcast form. We have some slides here to go with this, but I'll make it make sense for you guys who are not watching on YouTube. So what will these new revenue figures be? The top teams are rumored to be able to be within a few million of their peers. Now, like you were telling me in the pre-show, what is a few million?
Yeah,
is that
a few
2 million or 20 million? We don't know. That's the clarity that we are waiting to find out before this turns into a doomsday scenario. We already know the performance initiative is rumored to be up to between $15 and $25 million. That is a significant amount of money. How much will this brand value payout be? That's the one we're really waiting on. Chances are, to be fair, it is not going to be enough to close the growing revenue gap that's going to be almost $50 million in the next 3 years. It is not probably going to be enough, but it could still be a significant boost for Florida State and Clemson and some of the other brands in the ACC. The ACC revenue does get to increase too. That is part of it. They actually had the largest increase in revenue of all the conferences in 2023 at just north of 14%. So if they do the leveraging things with Notre Dame, if they schedule these big, you know, out-of-conference things like you have with Florida State and Alabama and Georgia, and you got Clemson playing LSU coming up and things like that, you have, you know, the Bill Belichick coming to UNC that could provide a ratings boost, they can grow their revenue too. So the payout estimates that you're going to see that we're going to go over here in just a second, those can change right now. The basis of all this is, first off, you need to be good again, right? Your viewership has to hold up. Having the ability to earn extra money is great, but it doesn't matter if you don't go earn it. Like we said, the success initiative was kind of put in place because of what we argued about,
right?
And then we went 2-10, so we didn't get any of that. You know, you're not getting a dime from that. Apparently, Georgia Tech had the highest viewership in the ACC in 2024, from what I've heard, because, you know, they had landmark games against FSU. They upset Miami, and then they had that 8-overtime game against Georgia. To be frank, if you're going to make the most money, you need Clemson to be good. You need, I hate to say it, you need Miami to be good.
Yeah.
You need the Belichick bump to be a real thing. But more than anything, Florida State needs to be good, because that is also something that you can control as far as your gate revenue, your booster contributions, all of these things, your TV money. Think about how empty Doak was last year for some of those games. I couldn't give away my Memphis tickets.
That's right.
But coming up, you know, 2023, almost every whole home game besides one was sold out. And so those are the things that you can control from a revenue standpoint. The other thing is, Florida State is going to have to fix their men's basketball program. That's aside from football. You got to fix football first, but I know this is the last year of Ham's contract. They're probably going to be making some moves there. These initiatives are also tied to men's basketball. You have got to start taking basketball seriously, period. So, Michael, let's get into some of these revenue gap numbers here, okay? Now, keep in mind what I shared earlier about what FSU brings in, which is approximately the $50 million or so that it receives from the ACC. And you're just wondering how close they can get you to this. Now, these numbers here are from navigate.com, so I want to give them credit. And I know these numbers get used a lot, but there's some adjustments that I made here on the slide if you're watching on YouTube. So they average the Power 5, because this obviously was made before the death of the Pac-12. So this would now be Power 4 average payout estimates. And the reason that I bring up the adjustments is because obviously these numbers are kind of old. But it does put into perspective what's going on here. So you can see from 2022 all the way through 2029 what they estimate these payouts to be. Now, again, you can see in the bottom right, I have these are estimates. That is all they are. They do also do not include CFP money, which is approximately $8 million less per year that the ACC gets than the Big Ten and the SEC, because they get 21, we get 13. So you can see that starting in 2025, because I skipped the years that don't matter that we've already passed, you can see the ACC will be trailing the SEC and the Big Ten by around $35 million. The SEC gets a big jump. You'll be trailing them by around $47 million in 2026, almost $48 million. That number is still around $38 million, which is not insignificant from the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So 2027, the Big Ten, you'll be trailing by 38.5, SEC by 48.5. And then you continue to where you're around $40 to $50 million behind, even with the growth of the ACC revenue through 2029. Obviously, we just talked about getting out in 2030 to 2031. So that number will be that $50 million or more money until you are able to get out and get in their pot of cash. So that is not insignificant. I'm not saying that it's not, right? That's $500 million over the course of these years that you could be behind competitors that you compete with directly. And in Florida State and Clemson's case, keep in mind, we are the only two ACC teams besides Georgia Tech, which they've just now kind of found their footing. It's not been much of a rivalry with UGA in the past. But those three teams are the only three teams, Florida State and Clemson being the two that are most competitive with their direct SEC rivals. We have to go play Florida every year. We have to go, they have to go play South Carolina every year.
Right.
You can't beat them because you can't compete with them. You have to answer to your boosters and your donors of why you can't do that.
Right.
Now, the other thing that you will see, and I also, by the way, I do have a on the bottom here, these actual numbers were provided on an article that I found from Fox Sports dated May 24th of 2024, because people will be like, where did you get those numbers from? Michael even said, make sure you got your sources there. So I got my sources. All right. So looking at the one thing that I did want to point out that the people I've seen use this graphic, they do overlook this. They do not point this out. And this is important. When you look at the 2023 revenue, because obviously you lag in the numbers that you have because you have to wait for the schools to file taxes, right, you know, in their fiscal year. So we do have 2023 actual numbers. So you can see that Navigate.com estimated the Big Ten was going to be $58.9 million. The numbers that Fox reported, they gave out $60.5 million on average to most of their members. Do keep in mind, some of the schools don't get a full share payout, which, by the way, if Florida State joined the Big Ten, they wouldn't get a full share payout right away anyway. They estimated that the SEC would be getting 56. They paid out 51.
Right.
They estimated that the ACC would be paying out 36.3. Now, I had to use an average here because they were anywhere from, I think, 43 or 46 million to 43 million. So you averaged 45.1 based on the numbers that they reported. The reason I say this is important is because these big, scary numbers off to the right of this slide can be different, right?
Right.
They, when you look at the gap from the Big Ten to the ACC in their initial reports, was going to be $22.6 million in 2023. It ended up only being 15.4. The SEC was reported to have a gap of 19.7 million, and the actual numbers ended up being 5.9. Now, again, you do have to add the playoff money to that going forward, which is another $8 million. But I'll throw it back to you, Michael. The point is, those numbers are not exact, and the ACC did, this is the one area I will give them credit, they did a decent job of growing their revenue.
Yeah.
And so their numbers are allowed to increase too, but we know it's still not going to be much compared to those other two conferences. And so I think your question is, where are they going to meet you, right? Is ESPN going to be willing to inject more money into the conference to help this brand value? How much? It doesn't behoove them to do that because right, they're trying to make a profit.
Right.
Probably wouldn't be a whole lot. And so how much of that $50 million that you bring in that you don't get back, how much of that are you going to be able to recoup out of these out of these different things? And I have some other points on these numbers, but I'm going to let Michael share some thoughts on this as well. And if you want me to pop the slide back up, just let me know.
Yeah. Listen, these numbers, they've always been projections, right? And this is these are the numbers that we've all been arguing over for the last like 2 years, basically, as this started really kind of manifesting itself out to people of, man, this is going to be this massive revenue gap. We've got to get this cleared up. And we don't actually know until we get to the, you know, post of the year, they file their taxes and then it gets reported and we can see that. So again, kudos to the ACC for being able to grow their revenue gap or grow their revenue share, right? Kudos to the ACC for being the highest earning conference to increase by 14% in 2023. That's awesome. The problem is how are you going to help your schools? Because in order for the ACC to continue to grow revenue, they've got to be successful. They actually have to do something on the field or on the courts, right? And their two right, main revenue streams of football and basketball, with football being in the driver's seat and basketball sitting in the back passenger seat or maybe the trunk, right?
Right.
They've got to be successful in that sense. So how are you going to help your schools be more successful? Well, in order for them to be more successful, you got to have a confluence of things. You got to have coaches. You got to have support staff. You got to have facilities. You got to have NIL. So the ACC has got to figure out with the revenue gap. Okay, so if this gap is going to be a thing, what else can we do to help our schools be more successful to increase exposure so that we do get more eyeballs, which will then generate more revenue for the ACC? So that when we are talking to ESPN, hey, we need more big games. We need more primetime right, slots. We can't have Clemson and Florida State playing at, I don't know, nine or what is the terrible slot they give, like noon, That's a horrible slot for Florida State Clemson. That's
Thursday night games.
Thursday night games. Yeah. You can't be sending one of your moneymakers across the country on a Friday night to play in a not prime time game. Like,
right.
That's where the ACC can step in to try to help some of this revenue gap. But we don't know when they talk about these success initiatives and this brand initiative that can get programs within a few million of the Big Ten or the SEC. One, what that says to me, Jesse, is the ACC, at least the conference, they are signaling defeat. They're saying we're not going to be the SEC or the Big Ten.
Right.
So how do we get our schools as close as possible? Well, what is close as possible? Are we talking about 2 to 5 million? If you're talking about 2 to 5 million, okay, I don't like it, but I can live with that.
Right.
But if you're talking 10 to 15 to $20 million as close as possible, when the gap is somewhere around 39 to 40, almost $50 million, and you saw the numbers that Jesse put up, put it back on the screen there, Jesse. When the gap potentially, you're looking at the SEC by 2029 being at a $50 million gap, Big Ten projected to be at a $39 million gap. What does a few million mean? Because that is going to make a huge difference in how these schools are able to compete with the big boys.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why I think we're in a wait and see on what these numbers are going to be. But I think for this to work for you, and again, we're looking at this kind of subjectively right now, but it's like, the numbers could come in great. The numbers could come in very underwhelming. And this could be either a uplift or this could be a boat anchor. We don't know that yet. That's the problem. That's what we're saying right now is until we know, we don't know.
Right.
But I think you need that success or not this successor initiative. I think you need the brand value to be somewhere around $25 million a year. Yeah. And can they do that? And then you also have to account for that's not just giving it to Florida State. That's giving it to Florida State. That's giving it to Clemson. That's giving it to UNC and Duke for basketball because that's where they're going to be success.
Probably a little bit of Miami.
Exactly. Miami. So like you can't just take half of Wake Forest's budget.
Exactly.
So, where is this money going to come from? How are they going to? Yes, those schools may have to cut off $2, $3 million or something like that. Yes, ESPN may need to kick in some extra money to make this happen. How is it going to happen? That's what we're waiting on. Now, we don't necessarily have that answers, but what I'm telling you is I think it needs to be around $20 to $25 million.
I agree.
With the ability to add the success initiative to get you to bridge the gap of the numbers we just talked about. So now, the other thing I want to talk about with revenue real quick is something that we have to account for that not a lot of people bring up and not a lot of people mention. That is huge. We just hinted at it a second ago. Well, you also have to account for the cost to leave. Say you get the exit penalty of $140 million nullified and the grantor rights buyout is what you got to pay. And that's still, let's just for ease of math purposes, say it's $500 million, $50 million a year times 10 years. That $50 million payment per year, well, you're probably going to have to finance that with interest. What is that payment going to look like? With no interest, that's $50 million over 10 years. That's $25 million per year over 20 years. And that's no interest. If you're going private equity, they're probably looking for 10%. So 10%. You're, again, you're looking for a massive number there. So the reason I say that's important, even if you were to say the grantor rights, you avoid the grantor rights buyout, but you have to pay the exit fee of $140 million. Now, they got cash they said that they're sitting on, but if you had to pay that off over time, that's around $14 million a year over 10 years with no interest added. Let's say you paid that over time out of your own pocket. Well, the problem that is this is still a numbers game, right? And so let's say you were like, all right, screw them. We're leaving right now. We're going to 2026. We're in the Big Ten. Well, you're not going to get a full share membership until they renegotiate contracts. The SEC, you would, because they have that in their contract to be able to add slices to the pie, not cut the pie smaller. We've been through that in past episodes. The problem is, at what point do you almost kneecap yourself to where the move isn't worth it? If you're paying $25 to $50 million a year to finance a $500 million buyout, okay, cool. You're making $50 million more a year. That's going straight to your buyout. Whereas, and the reason I bring this up is because to the FSU fans and the Clemson fans that are watching that are like, oh man, if we don't get out right now, it's an automatic loss. If you can get out in 2031, when you go back to the negotiating table and you get a full share membership with a much reduced to no buyout,
Right.
It is in your best interest to sit here and wait those years, try and get the most extra revenue you can rather than dumping all this money into getting out, and you're at a net negative anyway.
That's right.
That is a huge conversation to have when you talk about the financial gain, because we've said this all along. All it is a ginormous math problem. What number does it make sense for you to leave where it's mathematically a smart decision that's in the best interest of the university?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Like, okay, so in 2023, that's the number I could find. FSU's athletic budget was $172 million. Okay. That's what they had to spend to try to, you know, do what they needed to do in 2023.
Right.
You throw in, like, let's say we're out and we're just gonna pay the money. And let's say it's $25 to $50 million. You're talking about now having to figure out every year $190 million to $222 million athletic budget every year.
Right.
And let's be absolutely real, Jesse. I love Florida State. Man, I bleed garnet and gold. But that bill would come down to you and me.
Yep.
That's how they would pass it down. And let's be real. Let's just be honest. Let's just say the thing no one's saying. Florida State fans are almost tapped out.
Right.
We are almost tapped out financially. I mean, you're asking everything from us. There's no way we can fund an additional $25 to $50 million just to get out of this conference. And so some of that unknown of, man, what does that buyout look like? You know, if they win the lawsuit, which part of the lawsuit is saying, hey, an exit fee is really a penalty, and
right.
There's precedent already from the Supreme Court saying you can't charge a company a penalty to leave something. And so if they can get that, I mean, that's what Maryland argued and got it. So if they can get that, then now you're looking differently about, okay, well, what is the grant of rights? How much is that going to be? Can we get out of that? Do we own our rights? All those things. But man, there's just no way that Florida State can just leave and just pay that. That just makes right. no sense.
Money is not infinite. And we're already being asked to fund renovations and NIL budgets and boosters. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I know we got to keep it moving here, but real quick, one thing that I do want to throw up on the screen here is the Florida State's TV viewership ranking in the ACC. And this comes from FSU Athletics. So you can see this number. This is from 2014 to 2022, not including games aired on the ACC network. And I know a lot of people, when this first came out, because this is an old slide, I brought this out of the archives. People are like, oh, well, you're cherry picking. I'm like, so we started in 2014 after we won the national championship, and we included those five terrible years. But you can see the difference in the viewership Absolutely. Here. Now, again, this only goes to 2022. It doesn't even include our good 2023 season or the 2-10 season. But you can see that Florida State was at 3.17 million average viewers. Clemson was around 3.08. The next closest was Miami, Louisville at around 2 million. And then you drop down below two, all the way down to Duke, who was around 1 million. So you're bringing in, per their numbers, 70% more viewers than the ACC average. So this is why Florida State is saying we deserve more of the pot, and why that brand value deal could be very lucrative to Florida State because of what they bring to the table.
Right.
Now, to the ones who say how valuable is Florida State to these other conferences, that's where we go to this slide. This is also brought about by FSU Athletics in the more recent thing that they just did, the Vision of Excellence presentation. This is where Florida State's viewership strength index. Now, again, I don't know where they got these numbers, but this is data based on what Florida State presented through the CFP era. They are the top watch team in the ACC, and we haven't been great in the CFP era as well. Florida State would rank third in the Big Ten and fourth in the SEC. So again, Florida State is a valuable to all conferences from a brand perspective. That's why when people say, well, the Big Ten and the SEC don't want you, well, look at the data. The data tells us you would be a great addition for them. Now, the last part that I have to add to that is those numbers are based on playing ACC teams like Wake Forest, like NC State, and like all these other teams. if Florida State were to play against Big Ten teams and to play against SEC teams, their numbers would go through the roof. Think about that LSU absolutely game. That was one absolutely of the top games. Think about the Florida games. Think about all these games where they play the SEC teams. Those are going to be massive. That Alabama game is going to be huge.
Yep.
And so what they say here is comparison of the top 20 programs. Florida State would be estimated to have 20% viewership than its rival Florida if it were playing the same opponents. If we played Alabama, if we played LSU. So if you put Florida State into those other conferences with the better matchups, not only are you going to be selling out your stadium every week, but you're going to bring more of a TV draw. So that's why Florida State is still attractive to the other conferences. And that's why I think they are still desired. And that's why they have room to kind of make a fuss.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, it's been this way for a very long time. I mean, we're not even cherry picking, but if you go all the way back to the early 90s, right? Go back to the heyday of the dynasty. Florida State was much must-watch TV. Florida State in the Willie Taggart years, just to see their demise was much must-watch
we
TV.
We get some hate watchers. I promise you that.
Oh, we do. 2-10. I can't wait to see the numbers come out from this past year. I would speculate right now that even in a 2-10 season, Florida State was still must watch because no one could believe that a team that went 13-1, got snubbed from the college football playoff, literally was going 2-10. Like they couldn't believe it. So they had to tune in and check it out. Florida State is must watch TV. And you put Florida State in any of those other conferences and they still bring in numbers.
Right. And for the people, I know they're going to find the comments and say all that. But like, look, the numbers are the numbers. You can argue with them if you want. But hey, look,
men go argue lie, with your grandma.
Right. Men lie. Women lie. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
And so the last thing I want to talk about before we get into the most important part of the show, which is what this actually means for FSU. The last thing we don't know is how soon FSU will actually be able to get out. Will it be 2030, 2031? Are they truly stuck until 2036 or at least until the money makes sense to leave? Personally, I see the only way you get out earlier than a negotiated early end date for the grant of rights reduction down to 2031 is ESPN forcing a move to put you in the SEC or you paying a massive sum of money to go to the Big Ten, which is probably not feasible. So I think, the only way I see you leaving before a negotiated grant of rights and early end date is to be moved to the SEC and ESPN by ESPN, which a lot of people may not want, but you're still getting what you want by getting out of the ACC. So that's the only way that I see that happen. If you are stuck until 2036, yes, this is detrimental to the program. The leadership deserves to be chastised for that. We'll go down that road when we know. But if you get kind of what you want to leave early, 5 years early, it's not insignificant when you're talking about that's it. It would cost you an extra $50 million a year not only to buy your way out, but what you would be taking in by leaving, that's still a win. It's just you're still gonna be behind by hanging out for five more years. It's just the ultimate question is, when do we get out? This comes back to the same thing. When do we get out and how much do we get paid extra in the meantime while we're here?
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's speculation out there. You and I've watched a video of some Big Ten something podcast that said they have a Big Ten source that said that this was coming, that the ACC was going to and the ESPN was going to renew. And then the ESPN might move a couple programs over to the SEC. In my mind, I'm trying to figure out how that really works. And that's probably another conversation for another day of like,
yeah,
why do you move programs from the ACC to the SEC? And how does that make your brand? Because you're basically shorting one property that you own for the benefit of another property that you own. Like,
right.
I don't know how that all is supposed to work. So we don't know. Again, the best way, the earliest offer you're going to be able to get out is if you can negotiate that 2031 early exit. Other than that, you got to pay the money apparently, or you can walk out and keep it in litigation forever long, but then you're going to be risking. Do you have a conference? Do you have a landing spot? If you go independent, do you have agreements to play games? Like, it's just a lot.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, that's a good point. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the truth of the matter is the SEC is not struggling for views. Mm-mm. Would they be benefiting from adding Florida State and Clemson? Sure, of course they would. It would bring in more eyes and more viewers. But you would also be handicapping the ACC by a wide margin. The only way I see that happening, truth be told, is if that is the only thing that will bring about a settlement.
Right.
I think that's the only way you see that happening. So, Michael, let's bring this thing home. Let's land the ship here. What does this actually mean for FSU now that we've kind of got all the pieces, the parts to the puzzle laid on the table? Let's start with the good, because I like to be positive on the show as much as we can. The good for FSU out of this potential, and again, this does include the unknowns, the potential of extra revenue. That's what they wanted to begin with, and that's what they might be getting. How much of that, we don't know. If it's an extra $5 or $10 million, look, you screwed yourself. If you get 25, 30, 40 million between the success and the brand thing, all right, then that's doable for 5 years. Potentially an earlier exit date. We just talked about it. Every single year sooner than 2036 is a win. Potentially a reduced exit cost is also a win. Or potentially getting moved to the SEC by ESPN as part of the settlement, a settlement, is also a win. Now, again, it may not be the win you want. It may be winning the Pop-Tart Bowl, unlike Miami could do. It might not be winning a playoff game. It's realignment. We still can get a shot in here and there. And it may not be what we wanted, but here's the other thing to keep in the back of your mind. Just because you started a lawsuit doesn't mean you were going to win.
That's right.
What if you lost and you got nothing and you got stuck in the ACC with no extra revenue till 2036? That probably is the death knell to your program of a national relevance. So this is better than that. And the last thing I will say, and this is my personal view on things. If they go to an unequal revenue split, that technically gives FSU a competitive advantage over some of its competitors. Now, you won't get that for Clemson, probably UNC and Miami, but you will get a competitive advantage over some of the other ACC teams, and that could help shoot you into being the more successful program in the conference. Like we're going to talk about in a second, the lack of extra bids for the playoffs. Well, if you're making more than your ACC competitors, is it easy to snag one of them top two spots, or is it harder to snag on fair footing one of the top three or four spots in the Big Ten or the SEC? So that's one of the kind of backdoor benefits that you would get if all this goes through.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think the additional revenue, depending on what does a few million mean, what are the brand value add concessions that ESPN has been making or the ACC is making? I think those, depending on what those are, could be good for you, right? I also think the early exit date, if you're able to negotiate that into settling, that would say, hey, we want the penalty to be gone and we want the us to be able to exit by 2030. And they say, okay, that's great. I also think that what could be good for you is if they say, yes, we're going to get you more marquee games. We're going to have you play Notre Dame every year or almost every year, right? We're going to be able to work with the SEC to get you a little bit more SEC games. So that way you'll get some primetime slots. We promise to make sure that your primetime games are in primetime slots, right? You're not going to be playing on the CW when you're playing against the third-ranked team in the ACC anymore. You're going to be playing on ESPN at a good time slot. Like, for sure, those things can be really good. There is some capacity for good here. Yes, you might have to stretch your neck to see them, but there is some capacity for good.
Right. It's not the good we wanted, but it doesn't mean it's all bad. But let's get to the bad, Michael. So this is the downside of this. FSU is potentially stuck in a non-Power 2 conference for an unknown amount of time. You don't know when you're going to get that seat at the big boy table. You know, you don't know what. And we don't know what college football is going to look like in 5 to 10 years anyway. Right. We could break off and do power conferences. This is something that you had mentioned to me before. You get less recruiting prowess because, you know, obviously we know teams have been negatively recruiting against teams for being in the ACC after the snub. You still get fewer CFP bids when the SEC and the Big Ten eventually get more. I'm hearing that it's likely going to go. They're going to ask for 3 to 4. Even if they go to a 14-team playoff, which sounds likely, the ACC is still probably only going to get 2. But like I said, you are a bigger fish in a smaller pond for those 2 bids, so it may be easier to grab them. But, I mean, that leaves you very little room for error. You are going to have to either get the automatic qualifier or do really, really good there. And also, like we said, man, the meat of the show, you are going to be behind significantly from a financial perspective. The revenue gap is only getting larger. And while this may help bridge that, it's not going to close it. And how far will you be by the time you get out? That is the big question, because, man, it could be a lot. You could be way behind and against teams that you have to compete with directly. So that's really kind of where the bad is, the financial aspect, the recruiting, the negative recruiting, and the less spots for the CFP. Those are really some of the real big negatives out of having to stay in the ACC for any amount of time.
Right. Here's what I'm gonna do. I mean, we've talked about this. You know, I like to use Nebraska as an example. Nebraska has all the money in the world because they're in the Big Ten. They have one of the richest fan base, alumni bases. Like, they sell out every game. Like, they're not hurting for anything financial, right? And yet, since what, 1996, 7-ish, they've basically been irrelevant. They went to the right. National Championship game in 2001 against Miami and got blown the heck out, right? Outside of that, they've been irrelevant, right? Okay. The bad of this is you could end up there. Right. Not because of Nebraska stand. Nebraska is in a terrible geography. They have a terrible recruiting base, and they've had absolutely terrible coaches, which has put them in the mediocrity that they're in. But for Florida State, my biggest thing is this. You are in one of the hottest recruiting beds in the country. I mean, Texas and California are the only two that rival Florida's recruiting bed, right? And yet, because you play in the ACC, your high school recruiting opportunities are dwindled. Because let's be real, and I'm not talking about the transfer portal. That's a different thing.
Right.
When it comes to high school recruiting, those kids right now, and this is not anecdotal, this is what they are saying. They want to play with the big boys. They want to play where they're going to get the most exposure. Why? Because that's better for NIL opportunities. That's better for NFL draft opportunities, right? So they want to go to the SEC. They want to. I mean, look at Ohio State. I mean, gosh, they got five-star receivers falling out of their trunks of their cars.
Yeah.
Right? Because they look at the opportunities they're getting, right? They're being exposed to these great things. And right now, coaches are recruiting against you saying, yeah, Florida State got history. Great. That's awesome. But they play in the ACC, man. You're not going to get primetime games. You're not going to play anywhere near the stuff, right? So they're doing all of that. That is a death knell to you if you cannot overcome that. Because the bedrock of college football is high school recruiting. Now, can you win with the transfer portal? Absolutely. Now, basketball is my second favorite biggest sports. And I see this all the time. You have programs, because of who they are, they can't historically recruit like the five-star, you know, all-star basketball first-round draft pick players. So they build by the portal now that the portal's a thing. And they have successful years. But as we just saw with Florida State, you live by the portal, you die by the portal. Yep. And if you're not able to recruit because you're already behind the eight ball in perception, and you're getting low four stars, you're getting the busted five stars, you know, that one five star you get all the time. And you don't have the recruiting staff because you're low on budget to be able to mine those really good three-star players. And then you're having to live with the transfer portal and it's a boom or bust every year. Man, you're asking for becoming a also-ran program. So that's the bad of this. That's what concerns me.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree with everything that you said there. You know, and the only thing that I would say to counter that would be that There's two main topics, right? One, money doesn't always guarantee success, right? Yes, it is important, but it doesn't guarantee success. And the figures that I found, some figures that I found online, Texas A&M was ranked second and Nebraska was ranked sixth in athletic department valuations, right? And this was, I think, CNBC or something like that put it out. That was two in the top 10. Neither of those, as you mentioned, have sniffed the playoffs in many, many years. However, Indiana ranked 27th on their list, and Arizona State ranked 47th on their list. Both made the playoffs last year. Now, the reason I say that's important is money doesn't always guarantee success, but two big things here. NIL is the ultimate equalizer, and success cures everything. If you are a top-tier program where, you know, think about it. FSU had a top 10 class last year after they got snubbed, before they started losing, and then it fell apart. Miami had a top five class last year, despite being in the ACC. That's why I think NIL can be the equalizer. And when we talk about the revenue gap, NIL is funded by the fans right now. So that's right. FSU is equally handicapped by having a small alumni base. By small, they have a big fan base, but they don't have a gigantic donor base, is what I'm looking for. We don't have like the booster at Michigan who's worth $200 billion, who's paying $14 million for a high school quarterback. We don't have that. So to me, that's as much as of a deficit as anything. You know, and Florida State, again, like we were talking about before the show, they have done very well for a long time with less resources. And it may be a difficult conversation to have is like, are we built like a dynasty in modern days when other teams have caught up? Because like you said, one of the biggest things for Florida State, you are in the state of Florida.
That's right.
And so you do have that geographical advantage where you can pull from the state of Florida and you can recruit. But Florida State was top 20 in athletic department revenue in 2022-2023, despite already dealing with a $10-plus million revenue gap. They were ahead of 10 Big Ten teams, including the new members who were still listed as Pac-12 at the time, and five SEC teams. So, you know, again, money doesn't always equal success. Last year, Florida State was second in the ACC, and we are 24th in the entire country in athletic revenue valuation, and that's based on your base revenue, your estimated NIL, your conference affiliation, alumni base, and other factors per CNBC. I found my notes on it. They ranked the top 75 teams. We were 24th and lost to Memphis. Memphis was 75th. We are estimated worth over $525 million more than them. Bama's fifth. They lost to Vandy, who was 38th. There's a $427 million gap there. Georgia Tech took Georgia to eight overtimes. There's a $452 million valuation gap there. But with that being said, six of the top 12 programs also made the playoffs. Money does matter, but there's a lot of things that matter outside of money that Florida State can control. And they have done a good job of generating non-TV revenue. I will give them credit for that. But you can't have a season like last year. You can't have a floundering basketball program. Florida State has to control the controllables from its side of things. Even with all that money that they got in the Big Ten, Ohio State reportedly operated at a $38 million deficit last year from reduced ticket sales by not having as many home games and coaching buyouts. Multiple Big Ten teams operated at a multi-million dollar deficit. This is also why I said I don't think 7-5 gets Mike Norvell and the staff fired, because if you're going to make less money, you got to be smarter with your budget, point blank, period. But you got to win too. And so the last thing that I'll say here is Florida State can somewhat control its own narrative, not only from a money standpoint, from putting butts in the stands and eyes on the TV, but from the recruiting prowess that you talked about, from getting into the college football playoffs. They have an opportunity because, in my personal opinion, as much as staying in the ACC hurts, going 2-10 was far more detrimental to the perception with recruits and brand value. When you look at the empty seats and the lost revenue and the TV draw and things like that, the better they are, the more they're going to make, the better on the field, you know, and addressing men's basketball, the more prowess that you'll get. And the reason I say that you have a chance to really control your own narrative is think about it like this, Michael. In 2025, Florida State plays Alabama, Clemson, Miami, and Florida. In 26, you play Bama, Clemson, Miami, Florida, and Notre Dame. In 27 and 28, you get UGA, Clemson, Miami, and Florida. You want to show recruits that you're competitive despite being in the ACC. You want to earn your way into the playoffs despite only having two playoff bids. Go win the games on your schedule. I know that's a tough ask, but if you want to be the big dog, go act like the big dog. And if you do that, a lot of these things will kind of handle itself. But at the end of the year, at the end of the day, I think that you can control the controllables from your end, right? That is a very important part of this process. But there's still a lot of unknowns when it comes to this ACC and ESPN settlement, right? And you know, to close out my thoughts here, if FSU ends up settling for an extra $10 million per year and they're stuck until 2036, yes, this will be a complete failure of going through this process, in my opinion. If they are able to knock some years off the grant of rights and get out for a lot cheaper and get some extra money in the meantime, it may not be what we want, but it's good in the short term. And I think in the grand scheme of things, man, this goes back to what you talked about in the first part of the show. This is unsustainable. This is eventually going to price out the common fan of college football. Prices have to keep rising to cover these costs until something is done about it. And until something is done, eventually the common fan is not going to be able to afford this anymore. And I mean, the university needs money. you know, but to me, until they have to share revenue, NIL is still the ultimate equalizer. It is still the big variable here. You can only build so many buildings. You can only hire so many polos to stand on the sideline. Until, you know, unless revenue sharing is capped and collectives are able to do what they do on the side, it does make a big difference. Hear me say that, because I know that you feel strongly about that. But to me, NIL is still the one thing out there that a program like Florida State, even if you're making 20, 30 million less, you can put yourself on equal ground with NIL. And so that is technically right now, until the House settlement passes, that's not even part of the conversation with that extra money, because it's not allowed. So that's it, right? Has to come out of the fans' pocket. So, man, you know, I hate to say this, because I'm a fan, I'm a Battles End member, I'm a booster too. Like, we gotta do our part too to help. But I understand it's frustrating, man, because they keep asking and asking and asking. And you know, there's a lot of people who are mad about getting pushed out of seats and things like that with the stadium renovations. But man, it's uncertain times for Florida State, that's for sure. But I think before we step off the cliff, we need to find out some of these last details, how much we're gonna get, how long we gotta stay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got to find out the last details, because that'll help us make informed decisions. And at some point, you know, the fan is going to have to decide, you know, how much am I willing to personally stake myself into this program? Maybe, like I said, you know, does the fan get priced out so much that we're just like, okay, look, I'm gonna be a fan, but I can't be traveling all these games. I can't be giving all this money. Like, you know, like, we got ourselves, we got the economy, we got all this stuff to worry about for ourselves. And then our beloved university is also bleeding us for money as well too.
Right.
And so it just, at some point, as we get more information, we'll be able to make more informed decisions. I don't think this is a death knell for Florida State. No, I don't think it's a death knell. I do think this is like, you're at the doctor's office and the doctor's like, hey, bro,
we got to talk.
This is pretty serious. You're not dying, but if you don't change some things, yeah, you on your way real quick. And so that's why I think this is, as we get more information, we'll be able to figure out that. And, you know, I have confidence that Mike Norvell will be able to get this fixed, at least from a performance initiative, you know, which will add to the brand value. I think he'll be able to get this fixed. And if not, then you know what? That'll make that whatever $40 million decision much easier.
Yeah. I mean, you got to handle your own business first. And I think that's really the most important. So that's why we just wanted to come to you guys and do this episode about the truth of what we know, the facts of what we don't know that we're still waiting on, and what it means to Florida State. Because again, if Florida State goes and handles its own business and gets back to where we saw them in 2023 and 2022, you're going to earn more money. That is part of it. They could drop the news tomorrow that you're out in 2030 and you're getting an extra $25 million a year. And all of a sudden this doesn't look so bad. So calm the doomsday talk just for right now. But I understand that the uncertain future does give us heartburn as Florida State fans, because we want to compete at that national level. We want to be sitting at the big boy table. And if you're stuck till 2036 and you're making $50 million less, you're at the kids table, man. And that goes for Clemson too. That goes for UNC. And so we're going to have to see how it plays out, but that's going to be it for today. As soon as details come out, we'll bring you those details and kind of make some sense of it as well. We appreciate you guys watching. If you enjoyed this episode, drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. Rate and review on the podcast. Tell a friend or neighbor. Helps us reach other Noel fans. If you're not a Florida State fan, but you watch this anyway, we appreciate you guys tuning in with us. Make sure you check out Alumni Hall, today's sponsor. And that's going to be it, guys. We will catch you on the next one. Thanks for watching. And as always, go Noles.